Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Brie.
And this is CSI Talk. Hey everyone, welcome back. Another week, another episode of CS Talk Talk. Hi. Before we get into today's episode, we just want to let everyone know that we love you and you are important and we care about you, okay? No matter how rough the situation is, and believe me, sometimes the situation might be really rough to someone out there that you don't know about, but it's okay. It's going to be okay in the end. And we love you today. We are covering the very first episode of season 3 of CSI Vegas called The Reaper. Well, the episode begins and there is a song playing, and the song playing is Death Row by Chris. And the lyrics goes, well, up here's the windows sitting way high, way up high. I can't look up enough to see the sky. There ain't no good light here below Death Row. Don't want no preacher man to come around. I don't need him to lay my burden down. Already told Jesus everything I know. When it's time for my last request, tell my mama I did my best. Tell my baby that I love her so. Got a calendar on my wall, marking days till I get the call, till it's time for me to go. Yeah, this song is so fitting to Josh right now, because this song obviously talks about a man that committed a crime and is on death row and is thinking about the person that he loves and also about his mother. And obviously, Josh is still suffering the pain of the loss of his mother right now. We're picking up right after the events of the season finale of season 2, which was Josh found out that Colin Schefter killed his mom. Every time I said Con, I immediately am reminded of rap from Con from Star Trek. I mean, if you know, you know. Also, there is like on the reboot of Star Trek, also Con is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, which famously also played Doctor Strange and also played Sherlock. Like, I'm sorry, I love Star Trek. So every time when they said Con, I was like, rap of Con. So, yeah.
I thought of Colin from Star Trek, even though I've never really seen it, and Genghis Khan.
Yeah, okay, you thought about this mass murderer from history. And I thought about this guy from sci-fi, and you thought about this mass murderer. Okay. Quite fitting, too, because, I mean, it's CSI.
And I'm a history nut.
Well, so Josh found out that this guy killed his mom based on the scars on his arm. Josh is thinking about his mother, and there are echoes of voices of the characters of Max promise to find the people who killed his mom. Serena asking him, what is he gonna do once he finds out who is his mother's dealer? And Josh thinking back on what he did to come with Dre. Catherine's voice also echoes on Khan working for Tarkanians. If you don't remember who Tarkanian is, there's a brief explanation on the ending of season 2. And we're going to know more on the following episodes. But just on this first episode, the stakes are set that Rafael Tarkanian, he's a drug lord. He is being set up as Catherine's nemesis. Kind of like the Natalie Davis to Grissom, like Tarkanian is the Natalie Davis to Catherine. Catherine's voice is echoing on Khan working for Tarkanian, followed by Josh saying that he found the guy who killed his mom, and Max saying that she knew, and him looking at the picture of his mom with a bloody fingerprint. I bet that bloody fingerprint is actually the blood of his mom, because we do know that he used a blood bag with his mom's blood. Because apparently on the season finale of season 2, he broke into the morgue and grabbed his mom's blood. they get to jail so he can get booked. And Serena tries to get him out of the car, but Max is like, I'm not ready. I need a moment. So do I, Max. I need a moment too. Because she's not ready. Max tells Josh that the labs came back and the DNA under Jeanette's fingernails was Khan's. And Josh says that he knows that Khan did it. And Max says that Josh hasn't denied it. But Josh chose to remain silent. Maybe you're wondering why he chose to remain silent. All suspects of a crime have the right to remain silent if they want to not incriminate themselves. They have the right to remain in silence.
If you don't have money for one, they write it for you.
Yeah, in the United States, that is called Miranda rights. In other countries, it's not called Miranda rights, but a suspect is not forced to cooperate with the investigation.
Why it's called Miranda rights is because the Supreme Court was U.S. versus Miranda.
Yeah, because apparently the authorities did not remind this guy what was his rights. And they named the rights of a suspect Miranda rights. So Josh chose to remain in silence. And he had the right to do that. Until he was forced to tell them what they wanted to know by a warrant. If they got a warrant to order something from him. Or maybe he could have asked for a lawyer. Josh could have asked for a lawyer if he wanted to. But he didn't. He chose to remain in silence. Also, he was probably in shock and traumatized by what he did and what just happened to his mom. Because I still think he found his mom's body before he was told his mom was dead. I mean, that's a trauma by itself. They can actually hold him for 72 hours. Because remember, they found Khan's body. They have the right to hold him for 72 hours so they can build a case against him to eventually charge him with murder. That's what they're going to do. Back at the scene with Khan's body, we have Penny, Bo, and Chris, and Jack. Penny says that there are no surveillance cameras at this point because we know that the surveillance cameras actually are working, but they just don't have the footage. At this point, LVPD canvases didn't work and nobody saw anything around the time Khan's body was disposed. So this is a body dump. Okay. He wasn't killed there. Bo immediately thinks that Josh was the one that did it. Bo immediately thinks that Josh killed Khan and disposed of the body. But the thing is, he's getting ahead of the evidence. We've seen it plenty of times. And Grissom has sought his team in the past, like has told them plenty of times, do not get ahead of the evidence. You have to wait for what the evidence says. Chris doesn't know what to think, really. He doesn't know what happens. He's like, I take one day off and this is what happens. This explains why he was not at the season finale. He took a day off. Penny is just following the evidence, okay? She's like, it's not that I don't know what to think. I'm just following the evidence here. Chris wonders where Allie is, like, where is our supervisor? This is the first case that she has and she's not here at the scene with us to direct it. Essentially, Chris was the one that was supposed to take the helm at the scene, right? Because he was the senior CSI, right? He's a CSI level 2. He was the one that was supposed to tell them what to do because Penny and Bo are both CSI level 1s. But Penny is the one that takes the lead and she's like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do this and that. And Chris just do it, okay? But technically, we know that in the past, if this had happened in the original run, the senior CSI would be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to do this and you're going to do this. And I'm going to collect like the rest of the evidence and I'm going to go with the body or something like that. Chris doesn't know why Folsom is the prime suspect because nobody filled him in. When what happened, he took the ground running, like he got called to the scene and he was there like, why is Folsom the prime suspect? Like, what is happening? Nobody filled him in with the tea. Like, nobody told him the tea. He doesn't know what is happening. He just knows that Folsom's mom is dead. And somehow this guy who killed Folsom's mom showed up dead. And now they're arresting Josh for it. And Penny says that the victim is Khan Schefter. And they think he was working with the dealers Folsom's mom was caught up with. And then Bo's like, oh, yeah, we also think that he was the one that killed her. And Penny awkwardly looks at Jack and asks him to open the body bag in a very don't kiss, don't tell manner. because if you guys don't remember, on the season finale, Bo looks at her hand and he's like, what is this? And Penny's like, you know him. And fans all around the globe was like, okay, if Bo knows who it is, then who it is? Because he knows everyone in the lab. So it doesn't really narrow it down. What happens is Josh was working this case off the books. And in the airport hangar, they actually found a box cutter that would leave sharp force wounds. I say sharp force, it means anything that would resemble a knife, you know, or a box cutter. This is what CSI and the police force would refer as a sharp force. The thing about these wounds made with these weapons, like box cutters or knives, is that it is impossible to determine which was it. Like, what was the weapon that caused this type of wounds? Because you don't know what it was unless the weapon left a part of itself in the victim or a trace inside the victim. Like, there was an episode on season one of CSI Vegas that I think the name of the episode was Long Pick, that they found that, like, the weapon was a type of weapon like this, and they found part of it inside the victim. Also, in an episode of CSI Miami, there was a knife that was left inside a victim. But in the end, it is impossible to determine which type of weapon it is unless it leaves any type of trace or part of itself inside the victim. So they think it might be the box cutter, but they are not sure if it is because it is impossible. Chris wonders if they found Folsom's prints on the weapon. They didn't. But I was like, yeah, because it was wearing gloves, getting ahead of the evidence again. And Penny is like, you don't know that. And if the killer left any trace, it is on the dumpster and they have to bring it back to the lab. In this scene, Penny reminded me a lot of Grissom because it is so Grissom to bring back almost the entire scene back to the lab. He's like, I don't care what it's going to take. I don't care the physics of it. I just need this back at the lab. Remember when Nick brought, like, an entire tree back to the lab because he didn't know how to retrieve a bullet from a tree? And he told Catherine, like, oh, I don't know how to retrieve it. And Catherine's like, oh, you know what Grissom would do? Take back the entire tree. And he was like, take back the entire tree. So they had to take back the entire tree back to the lab. Well, anyways. So the undersheriff has to take Serena off the case because of her connection to Josh. Actually, kind of fair, because it would call her judgment. And I think it's a good decision. At the end of the day, it was a good decision because her head wasn't good, too, in that episode. Yeah. Max and Catherine, they think that Serena wants to work the case because Catherine's like, oh, she might have a reason to believe that Josh is innocent. And Max is like, yeah, she's in love with him. And Max is like, oh, do you think he did it? And Catherine doesn't really know what to think. Honestly, Catherine was in the exact same position like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And she didn't think twice about covering up. Honestly, no. No, I'm going to take that back. She was quite hesitant. She and Sarah, they were quite hesitant, you know, because they I think they knew what happened. They definitely knew what had happened. They just couldn't find the evidence to prove it. So the undersheriff, who's named Bobby, I was just realizing that his name is Bobby. Is it like when Catherine said Bobby, I was like, we know another Bobby that works in the lab. I was like, is this a nod to Bob Dawson? Well, gets into Max's office and Max is like, all hands on deck, including Allie, who is the new shift supervisor. And Max will supervise it personally. And the undersheriff is like, poor choice of words, Max. Should not have said personally. And undersheriff is like, yeah, that's my fear. That's my fear. You cannot do it personally because the undersheriff knows the connection between Max and Josh. And the undersheriff, Bobby, gives Max a copy of the manual. And Max is like, yeah, I do have my own copy. And he's like, yeah, but I do have some sections to keep in mind. And I literally wrote it down, episode one, and he's already interfering with the CSI's job. It's giving umbrage at Hogwarts when she meets everyone. It might not be bad, but it's because I'm watching Super Curling Brothers videos about Harry Potter, but, you know, let's not go into that. So he says that nobody upstairs. So I'm thinking sheriff, maybe the mayor, you know, of the city. Nobody wanted a scandal like the one they had with Anson Wicks. Do you guys remember? He used the press against the lab. And he is going to the press. The undersheriff is going to the press before the CSIs even have a case, before they even have results. And Catherine's like, no. Why are you doing this? The press doesn't even know what had happened. And Max is like, he's going to be tried in the press, which is true. Okay, even if you did not commit a crime and people think that you did, you're going to be tried in the press. Max, she tries to argue, like, wait until we have some hard evidence that he did it. And the undersheriff is like, do you know that Josh bailed Trey Cahill before he went after Khan? And Max is like, wait, what? So Max did not know what happened. And because Max probably thought that he was at home making funeral arrangements. Then we cut to Trey, who is going to steal Tarquinio's car. And Tarquinio is already threatening to kill a woman he is with. And her name is Dana. Okay. Trey says he is able to steal a Maserati. He's able to steal that car. So Ellie goes to talk to Josh. And I think she probably... I mean, I don't know how she was able to talk to him so fast after he got booked in the middle of the night. She probably pulled some strings. She was like, I'm the supervisor and he's a suspect in an active investigation. Let me speak to the suspect. Probably went like this. I actually really love this shot in the glass of her face and his face on the reflection. I absolutely love that shot. Give the person that got that shot a raise right now because I love that shot. First of all, Josh tells Ellie that she should not be there and he cannot even look at her. Ransom Nation, how are we feeling? We're devastated because he could not even look at her. Ellie does not believe that he did it right off the bat. She's like, yeah, I know you didn't do it. Was it Trey? Tell me it was Trey that did it. And Josh is like, you don't know that. And it was like, are you protecting Trey? Who are you protecting? Talk to me, Josh. Well, anyways, it seems like that not even Josh knows who did it. Meanwhile, Trey is booked and busy because he is blowing up Tarquinio's yogurt shops that actually served as a drug shop. He is really booked and busy and he's not even wearing gloves. Like, dude, your best friend / brother is a CSI and you do not even think about, like, I don't know, wearing gloves if you're going to commit arson. Thinking about it, like, it wasn't like the very first case that we saw Josh investigating, like, an explosion and, like, cut to his best friend, his last brother, doing the very same thing 2 years later. Anyways, on the very next morning, Ellie and Penny, they're on the scene and they already know that Trey did it. And I was like, how do they know that Trey did it? And probably they ran the prints and they're like, oh, this is connected to Josh because Trey was there. But I was like, how did they know that it was connected to Josh? And then I was like, oh, because the undersheriff told Max that Josh bailed Trey out. Yeah, perfectly not confusing. They are processing everything. And Serena is on the case. Serena thinks Trey did it and she wants to update the case. And Max is like, you're not doing it. You're not doing. Max is literally having none of it. She's having none of it because Serena is off the case. So if this scene is connected to Josh's case, that means that Serena is off the case. Serena was off the case by the undersheriff, and now she's off the case by Max. It's over for Serena in this case. Like, it's literally over for her. Technically, it's not, because Serena is now going after Trey.
Yep. I like how he says you two are made for each other.
I do not like that, as a ransom saying. I do not like that. But I will say, I think he said that because he wants Ellie. And he said that because if Josh gets Serena, then he probably gets Ellie. Because he knows that Josh has a crush on Ellie. Not a crush, he's in love with Ellie. Bo finds out. that this yogurt shop actually had drugs in it. As a new supervisor, Ellie decides to divide and conquer. She sends Bo back to the hangar with Catherine to process whatever they have left of the scene. And she turns to Penny and she's like, Penny, is there any professional reason as to why I cannot pair you with Chris? And Penny's like, no, I love Chris. And
he's direct.
Okay, I wanted to go back to the lab and handle the dumpster with Chris. When Max asks Ellie, why would you ask Penny that? And then for the speak now or forever hold your peace reasons. And then Max is like, what? I just know that Max is kind of, she's already know all over her head about this whole Josh situation. But now Penny did not tell Max that she was engaged. This is like a subplot that is happening throughout the episode, but not telling Max that she was engaged first. Like, okay, look, I know that us as GSR fans, we all like to believe that Penny is like Grissom and Sarah, a child and all that. But I really love to think that Penny is also Max's child. And I think Max has a picture of Penny on her house, as she does have a picture of Josh too, because Josh is obviously her son. I think that Max was like, she was engaged. And she did not even tell me first. Bo goes back to the hangar and he's full on Josh did it. Just throw him in the electric chair and forget he ever existed. And Catherine is having none of it. Catherine is literally having none of it. She's like, don't go there, partner. Don't do it. You know what? That's what we love to see it. Because I think that now Catherine is starting to look at Josh and motherly.
Well, like how she looked at
me. Yeah. Yeah, but now, I mean, I know there are a lot of people that ship Catherine with Nick, because I know there is a scene that they cut it from the pilot of Catherine and Nick kissing. I've never seen it, and I'm not gonna ever see it because I see them as best friends, and I don't think it fits the story. But anyways, I think Catherine is starting to see Josh in a very motherly way, especially because he decided to help Catherine and the whole Grace storyline, knowing fully well that he could have been fired at any time. And he didn't care. He's like, no, let's do it. Let's follow the evidence. Let's go to, oh, you want to go to the desert to dig holes? I'm all in. Let's dig him. We want to do this. Let's go. We want to go to the, he was all in for Catherine. And now she's starting to look at him in a very protective manner. All very protective, and I really love that about her. Do you think Lindsay is gonna get jealous?
Lindsay could care less.
Bo, she knows, like, even though Catherine says that she doesn't know what to think, but he knows that Catherine is very protective of Josh. He decides to start actually processing the scene, so he goes and processes around the chair. He sprays luminol and he sees a lot of bleach. The thing about luminol is that it does reveal bodily fluids such as blood, but also if you use bleach to clean the bodily fluids, it's very bad for the CSIs. He tells Catherine what he found, and it's a lot of bleach. So obviously Josh was kind of like prepared. He was ready for what he was going to do, but it's a very concentrated area. It's not a lot of blood that was spilled around the chair. We go to the morgue and they don't have a cause of death yet. They don't have it. But what the medical examiner can say for sure is that the cuts on the chest, they were not the cause of death. Max says it herself. If it was exsanguination, the cuts, on a very brutal way of saying the skin around the cuts would have been purplish. So it was not loss of blood. Also, Jack totally thinks that Josh did it, and Max is not having any of it. It's not to say that Max thinks Josh did it, but Max is choosing to follow the evidence. Yeah. Yeah, and Jack is like, yeah, he did it. You know, let's lock him up and throw away the key. Jack, what are you doing? But the medical examiner does says that that Colin was restrained at least twice. And, well, then he doesn't highlight the puncture wound yet. Or he does. He's like, oh, here's a puncture wound. The cuts were done post-mortem. So, which means that it was after Khan was already dead. It was literally to throw off the investigation. Back to the lab is helping Penny get out of the dumpster, and he seals the ring on her finger. I love who wrote the script, because when he feels the ring, Penny that says, "Everybody thought it was you." And it's true, because everyone thought it was him. And when it is finally revealed that it's not Chris.
And also, Chris says, "I'm not going to keep it for long."
Well, I mean, at this point, there was only one man left that it could have been.
Yeah.
And I mean, Khan was clown, but I thought it was. At first, I didn't think it was Chris, but then
I can't
but call me clown, because I thought it was, because I know a lot of you also thought it was Chris too. And Chris is like, "I'm going to keep your secret," not knowing that Ellie does know and Bo knows too. Like, but how did Ellie know? Because apparently Ellie was in the scene for a very short period of time. So how did she know? Or did Bo tell her?
Ellie just see the indent of the ring, like how Chris found out while holding her hand?
Yeah, we need answers. Sarah Gilman, please answer us. Like, how did Ellie knew that Penny was engaged? Like, did Penny tell her? Did Bo tell her? Like, what happened? Because we know that the fiancé did not say it. So who told her? I need to know. I know this is not the purpose of this episode, but I really need to know. They're going through the dumpsters. Ellie goes and check on Chris and Penny, and they decided to do a color scheme situation on every trace that they found on the dumpster. And it's not looking good, because it doesn't really help them. And they do stink a lot. But it does add something up, because Penny's eyes, they start to water. And I was a bit scared. Her eyes started to water. I was like, what is happening? Why are her eyes watering?
And she got so nauseous.
Yeah, and I was like, Penny girl, don't do this to me. But actually, in the end, we will understand why she was reacting like that.
When Ellie gets the watery eyes and Chris gets the eyes. And
yeah, when everybody starts having the same reactions, but when Penny starts to get nauseous and her eyes are watery, and I'm like, her eyes are watery, she's getting nauseous, and she already got engaged.
And it was a quick, all of a sudden happening engagement.
And I was like, it was literally after 5 dates. And I was like, girl? No, Penny girl, don't do this to me. But in the end, we'll find out that it was meant to scare us, and nothing was happening. One of my favorite parts of the episode, according to Chris, Catherine got a friendly judge, and they go and raid Tarkanio's house. And when they go to Tarkanio's house and we get inside, did you guys catch it? Did you guys catch it, Tarkanio's house? Bree, who did Tarkanio's house belong to?
The character played by Anne Margaret.
And who was the killer that lived inside that house?
He did not actually live in it, but Squeagle. Squeagle.
It was impossible for Catherine not to realize that it was Squiggle Hives. It's
things they reuse sets all the time. So
I know that they reuse sets all the time. And I know that especially in CSI Vegas, they always do this little nod to the original run. But especially this house, they are setting up this huge drug lord that the CSI have to take down, and is apparently this huge enemy to Catherine and all that. Living inside this house of this killer that they never caught. They literally never caught Squeagle.
We want Squeagle.
But yeah, this was the house of the Squeagle. And so they are doing a sweep of the house. And Bo, he sees Tarkanio's nephew eating hummus. If you don't know what hummus is, it's a traditional Lebanese food, and it's a very good Lebanese food, if I may add.
And it's vegan.
Yeah, and it's vegan too. Also, Tarkanio says that, "Oh, my nephew likes his hummus spicy because he was eating with pepper." And I've never seen someone eating hummus with pepper, and I've been eating hummus my whole life. But apparently you eat hummus with pepper too. I mean, if you do, they actually cannot find anything that would tie Tarkanian to the hangar, even when the answers were actually in front of them all the time. Even Bo says to the nephew, hey, if you want to go and talk to us about your uncle, feel free to call us. I love how Bo is literally not afraid of the danger at any time or whatsoever.
Well, last season.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe he's over it. Trey, in the meantime, he is not aware of the fact that Josh is in jail. He's calling Josh and he's like, look, I'm going to skip town. How about you come with me and we're just going to lay low for a while. And he realized he's being chased and he gets out of the car because he drives into a dead end. How do you drive into a dead end if you're trying to escape someone, Trey? That's why Josh was the smarter of you. And it's Serena. She fills Trey in on what is happening and he decides to let her take him in. And then on the next morning, Max, she's trying to work the case to actually follow the evidence to try and get Josh off the hook. Max is like really progressing on the investigation. And then Catherine's like, Max, Trey, he'll just turn himself in, saying that he did it. He was the one that killed Nicola.
And that happens.
So they have to bring Josh over because Trey is saying that he was the one that did it. And Josh is like, no, I was the one. No, he's lying. Because
he said, she said, he said, he said.
Yeah, it's a he said, he said. And no, he's lying. Josh is saying that Trey is lying. Josh says that during that moment, he actually thought about doing it. He thought about killing Colin. But then Trey was the reason he stopped. Josh says that Trey did not kill Colin, that he's covering up for him. And then Josh is still trying to say something. And then Max cuts him off and says that you're in here with our lawyer and we don't want to hear another word from you until I say something. She is extremely upset and under pressure. And most of all, she is a mother and that is her son. And she is trying to protect him. I mean, like, guys, when I was watching this and it went to commercials, I was like, she is a mother. The way Max is mothering so hard on this episode, like, she is mothering. Like, she is a mother. Above all, she's a mother. Well, anyways, enough of me. Actually find out what actually killed Khan. First of all, they found out that his shoulders, they were broken. Both of them were broken. But he broke them himself. Guys, it takes a lot of strength to kill. Oh,
spread it. It kind of does in a lot of ways. Okay, like Corey was trying to say, it takes a lot of strength to break your shoulders.
And to break a bone. That wasn't... Sorry, yeah. So they don't know who did it because apparently there was no third party that did it. Khan did it to himself. So he was under a lot of stress to do that. And the ME also cut his... I do not recommend you watching this part of the episode if you were having any type of food, because if you can take it, of course you can see it. But if you can't, well, shows part of the brain. So apparently he had a stroke. But he was meant to have it because he was under a lot of stress. But what could cause it? They don't know because they need the cause of death to see it at least. Back to the lab. Anything that Penny and Chris found on the officer is not actually helping them. On Max's office, the other sheriff wants the report on the evidence. The DA is asking for it. And Max is like, do not rush me. It's going to be ready when it's ready. And the under sheriff is like, well, so sorry to hear that because the DA is going to charge. And she's going to charge Josh. Josh is going to be charged with murder one. It's murder in the first degree. Josh is being charged with murder in the first degree. It's murder with the intent to kill with malice. It's different with murder in the second degree, which is you do not have the intent to kill. But basically what the DA is saying that is Josh had the intent to kill Khan because Khan killed his mom. The other sheriff just showed up to Max to say that. But before that, Tarkeo summons Max and Catherine to his home to show them footage of Khan going into the hangar with Josh and Trey going in and going out. Catherine's like, why would you summon us here if you could just send the tape with your lawyer to the lab? And Tarkin is like, Oh, because I wanted to see your face. I'm sure that just like me, y'all wanted to punch this guy on the face because how dare this guy come for Catherine? Why would you come for Catherine like this? Why? I just want to know why. Serena goes to talk to Josh. And Josh unintentionally tells her where he actually was. Apparently, he went to all the places that reminded him of his mom after he let Kong go. And one of those places was ice cream shop. So, yes, he had ice cream at the ice cream shop. And if they had surveillance, wouldn't that prove that he was there? Like, wouldn't that be an alibi for him? Josh, do you see the problem that you put yourself? Josh, why are you behaving like this? Why are you behaving like Elijah from the Originals? Why are you behaving like this? Josh, I love you, but why are you behaving like this? I've been a Josh apologist from day one. Why are you treating me like this, Josh? But he's like, I said too much. Said too much. I'm going out. Serena goes to Max's office. And Max is like, this better not be about Josh. And Serena's like, this is about Josh. Serena is like, okay, Josh told me that he went to all of these places, including Red Rock. Serena tells Max all the places that Josh went to when Khan was killed. And she's like, oh, if he was in all these places, how come he had time to kill Khan and dispose of his body here if he was all of these places? Max is like, yeah, but I don't care about timelines and all of that. I need evidence to prove it. And Serena's like, yeah, okay, what is this ragdoll gonna prove it? He's like, Max tries to explain to her that something made Khan break his shoulder, and because he broke it by himself and it was an incredible amount of pain, because you know, for you to break your own bone, it's gotta be something a lot more painful than the pain of breaking a bone. And it's something that is arguably one of the worst pains that a human can ever feel. So what happened? You know, I love it how the CSI is just pitched, you know, they just tell Serena all the scientific facts and scientific names. And Serena's like, speak my language. Max goes and talk to Ellie. And Ellie is in the same place that Folsom usually works, which is where he would reconstruct the crime scenes, which is where they put the dumpster. Max tells Ellie that Josh is being charged and he is going to be up for a hearing with the judge, up for bail. Ellie's like, yeah, he's going to have to clean his bank account, sell his car. And then Max is like, well, but he still has that horse, right? King's Gambit. And we find out that actually the horse name is Dennis. I really want to know what is happening to that horse. Is that horse being taken care of? I know he is. Like, I want to know what is happening to that horse. Josh, take us to see that horse, please.
I was going to make a Dr. Hugh joke.
Well, anyway, so Ellie still has her dry eyes, and she shows Max, like, this piece of wood that was on the very top of the dumpster with this trace that we're not able to identify. Max collects it because she's like, oh, if this is on the very top, it was probably with the victim, and it was something that neither Penny or Chris or the DCMS was able to identify. They decided to come back to the yogurt / drugstore. Ellie, Penny, and Chris, when they get there, all of their eyes are still dry. And Penny is the one that finds this Bethany. Penny is the one that recognizes, because she says that she's been binging these videos of celebrities eating chicken with spices on it. And she recognized that as the hottest spice in the world. Penny girl, is that what you've been watching with your fiancé? I don't judge.
It's something to relax after a hard day.
But have you guys seen it?
I have.
I love that one episode with Elizabeth Olsen, because she's like so chill. She's so chilled, eating everything. She's really chilled. And everybody's losing their minds, and she's really chilled. Ellie has one idea. So they're actually cooking pepper on the lab. And I literally said, when I saw that scene, I was like, this lab has turned into a kitchen.
The reason turned a pickle into a light bulb. And then Sarah ate it right afterwards.
Well, technically, he fried it.
I was about to say, he's technically cooked a pickle. No longer a pickle if you cook it. It turns back into a cucumber. But I'm pissed.
Okay, thank you for that information, Gil Grissom.
I don't know if that's true or not. That's just me making a stupid joke.
Yeah, I know. It was a very gruesome joke. With all those peppers, they actually make this very, you know, oil, this oil made of peppers, but it's a highly concentrated one. Chris highly doubts that it will work. So he tasted some and he immediately leaves the room for some milk.
Well, he says drink milk.
Yeah. Because according to Max, I think too much of it could degenerate the brain tissue, which is exactly what happened to Kellen. And when they tell Catherine that, Catherine says that she remembered seeing Tarquinio's nephew getting rid of evidence. He was literally getting rid of evidence in front of them. When they get to Tarquinio's house, they're looking for the peppers, but they cannot find it because he already ate it. But what they found is better. They found the chair in which Khan was tied to, and it was, and the chair has been really recently glued, and they are able to arrest him and clear Folsom's name. When Folsom is finally free to go, he's actually pretty upset that his mother's picture is not on his wallet, and Max is there to pick him up. And Max is also really upset with him because he didn't stay at home. He did all of that. Everything that he was not supposed to do, he did it. He tries to apologize to Max, and she's actually not having it. She's actually the one that needs time. But the thing is, Josh, he's mourning the loss of his mother. He's the one that needs support right now. And I understand what Max was feeling. And I understand if Josh had just talked to Max about what he did, all of this could have been avoided. Because in all of the stages of grief, he went directly to the anger one. He wonders if he's going to go back to his job. And Max is like, I don't know. It's not my call to make. Apparently, it's not her call to make. Apparently, it's probably the other sheriff or something. But he is going to go back because of the pictures that we've seen from the behind the scenes. He's going to go back at some point. We think he's going to be demoted, though. Right after he leaves jail, he uses his card as a CSI to talk to Trey. Like, dude, this is literally one of the reasons why you were arrested, and already you're pulling your card to talk to him. And Trey tells Josh that, yeah, I stole Tarquinio's card and all of that, and I have to do the time. Trey tells Josh that even though they might not see eye to eye and all of that, they're still family. Back in the lab, Ellie tells Max that they're going to have permanent partners at this point. Bo is going to work with Catherine, and Chris is going to work with Penny. Oh, and Penny's fiance? It was Jack.
Yep.
You know how they found out? They went to the morgue to look for a puncture wound in which the pepper was injected into Colin's body. And Ellie just guessed it was Jack. So apparently they're engaged.
Okay, so nobody can deny the connection or the lines between the two.
Yeah, and apparently Jack would always compliment her. Good for them, actually. When Ellie tells Max about the permanent partners things, Max is immediately like, well, but I don't like that. I think it's better if it's more fluid and all that. Ellie immediately points it out. But me and Josh worked together for years. Well, probably because maybe they had more people, but they chose to work together. But anyways, so I saw it on Twitter, like, if Ellie is assigning permanent partners for everyone, does that mean that Ellie is going to have to work with Josh when he eventually comes back to CSI? I don't think so, because she is a supervisor. I think she's going to be like, oh, you're going to work with Catherine and Bo in this case, or, oh, you're going to work with Chris and Penny on this case. It's probably going to be something like when Greg became a CSI and he was like thrown around a bit. Well, also kind of Tarquinio's, he gives the CSI his nephew and he declares war on Catherine. How dare you declare war on Catherine? Because if you're declaring war on Catherine, you're declaring war on me.
And when she walked away during that, I saw the brawn in her.
Damn. Also, this was it for this episode. Let me see if they release the synopsis for next week's episode.
With the new piece of evidence at play, Catherine Riley reopens an investigation from her past that never got solved after a violent attack left her hospitalized. Antonio Ferris begins questioning Folsom.
Oh, DMIA again.
Episode is titled Scar Tissue.
Do you think they're going to bring back that lady, that IA lady from season one?
It's like she wasn't bad. She truly just wanted the truth.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously going to get cleared by IA, but... Oh, apparently Catherine got attacked by Tarcanio, one of his men, on her arm. Well, that's probably the case that never got solved.
I actually really liked that episode. What grade would you give this episode, Brie?
A 9.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 9.5 just because, and I'd give it a 9.5 solely because of the ransom scene. Give me more ransom scenes. Give me more ransom scenes. I absolutely love that. I live for that. So thank you so much for everything, guys. We love you so much.
Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.